Charles Holmes. I'm interviewing Greg Collier of Cleveland, Alabama. Mr. Collier, what is your date of birth?
April 5th, 1914.
And what was your other childhood like?
I was born in rural Alabama in Edgewood County. Incidentally, I was born in a log cabin, which is a part of the thing, I think. At any rate, my first 4 years were spent in Alabama. In a very rural part of Alabama. We lived on what's now called Straight Mountain. And when I was four, we moved to Texas. And we spent 4 years in Texas. And they were, from this point of view, they were hectic years, because my father was what was called a rigger in the oil fields of Texas. In early, when they first discovered the oil field in north central Texas, near northwest of the Fort Worth, Bourbonnet, Wichita Falls, and it was out in cattle country. There were no stores, there were no houses. We lived in a tent. Everybody else lived in tents. There were no schools within walking distance, and of course there were no buses then. So my older brother and sister missed 2 years of school before we moved close enough for them to. Well, when I became six, my mother insisted that we go near a school, and we did. And I didn't miss any years, but my brother and sister missed 2 years. But life there was difficult because of first weather. Weather in northwest Texas is not that pleasant. And you have extremes. You have extremely hot weather, you have extremely cool weather, you have hot winds, you have sandstorms, and when you live in a tent, you're a victim. And it was, from my viewpoint now, it was difficult. One time, we had a rainstorm, and it happened that my older uncle, my father's older brother, had just come in from North Texas to visit us. My father was working at night, and I had just, well, I was in bed with typhoid, with whooping cough. At any rate, the wind was so strong, and the rain had softened the ground where your tent pole, your tent guy wires are fastened to the ground. And the tent was about to blow away. That would have left us all victim of the storm. But my uncle and my mother were able to hold the tent pole in the center of the tent of the pole until the wind died down some. But life at that time in that part of Texas was not very pleasant. And we had visions of going back to civilization in Alabama. And we did when I was eight. One of the interesting things now, when we decided to go to Alabama, my father bought a T-Mobile truck, built a flatbed on it, and a big covered wagon bulls and a canvas over it like a covered wagon. And we put mattresses on the bed of the truck. And my mother had two things that she kept. The rest of the furniture was sold. A trunk and a new machine that she bought. And those two items were put in the truck. And so we set out for Alabama. The truck would run about 15 miles an hour, but we could average only about 10. So we'd try to leave soon after sunup and travel for possibly 10 hours. And we were traveling in August, so the days were long. And father was trying to average 100 miles a day. We had cooking utensils and bed clothes loaded. And when we get to a suitable site, sometime before sunset, we would make camp. And my mother would cook something over a campfire, and we'd sleep on the ground. And then the next morning we'd have breakfast over a campfire and set out again. And we spent from, at that time we had just moved to Duncan, Oklahoma. So from Duncan, Oklahoma to Edgewood County, Alabama again, was 11 days of travel with one day out for car trouble. So we were on the road 10 days traveling. And when we got back to Alabama, things were a little different. In where we had lived in Oklahoma last and had gone to school one year, children wore trousers that buttoned below the knee, and all I had to wear were these short pants. And when I started school at Altoona, children laughed at me for wearing that kind of clothes. All the boys there wore overalls. And one of the things that I learned to do in Texas was fight my way through whatever it took. And you either died young or you fought well. And
you were the latter, huh?
I was more experienced in fighting than the boys in Alabama, and I fared very well and earned their respect after a few bouts.
You were 15 when the Great Depression hit. What effect did this have on you?
We had been fairly prosperous. My brother had tried farming. We owned a 200-acre farm, but my father was not an Alabama farmer. He had grown up in Texas and wasn't used to flying one horse plow. So he wasn't successful in farming. And he bought a sawmill, so all of my years at home after I was 10. My father was a sawmill before. And and we did very well. And he and one of his friends went into a partnership and started building dwelling houses in Birmingham. And we're doing very well until fall of 1929, when the Depression hit. In fact, one of the wishful thinking that I had, one of the things that I think wishfully of, we had a night in September of 1929, my father decided to buy a farm in what's now Center Point, Alabama. and about half a center point. Today is constructed on that 100-acre farm that he even had the deed ready to sign when the depression hit, the crash we call it, and the stock market crash. He's in the fall of 29, and my father got frightened, rightfully so, and decided not to buy that other farm. So we missed out on a 100-acre farm there, and
that chances are you would be able to.
And center point. If we had bought it, we possibly couldn't have paid for it because everything went through. My father was making $200, maybe $300 a week. When labor was $2 a day, or $2.50 during the last part of the '20s, he was making possibly as much sometimes as $300 a week. So we were faring well. And then the depression hit. We couldn't sell any lumber. We couldn't sell any houses that he built, so we couldn't build any more houses. We went back to farming. And at one time, the last year I helped farm, we made 10 bales of cotton and sold the cotton at 7 cents a pound. A bale of cotton weighs roughly 500 pounds. And that made each bale bring $35. And 10 bales was $350. Where he had before then, and that was for a summer's work, he might have made $300 in 1 week. And we gradually lost, we lost practically everything except the farm. And there was nothing tough about the farm. I guess that what saved us on the farm was a federal land bank at Albertville. And they had during the Depression, they had a proposition that they would pay off your farm if you were owed on it, or would buy your farm, and you'd only pay 1/4 of your cash crop on the debt. And it would be interesting to find out, to know how many farm families during this time were saved by the federal land bank system. Certainly it saved us because my father was able to pay off the farm with that provision. But labor was from 50 to dollar a day, 50 cents to dollar a day, if you could get work. Now, many people today look back and say, but you could buy things so cheap then. It was true. Generally speaking. But you could get, at that time, you could get sugar for 10 cents a pound. You could get 10 pounds for a dollar. Today, you can get 5 pounds for $1.35. And the labor then, many, many people worked for a dollar a day if they could get a job. Yeah. Okay, they could go find 10 pounds of sugar. When I was paying these boys for cutting hay for me, for hauling hay, I paid different boys for not a whole day, but we generally worked 10 hours. And I paid them between $40 and $50, and that was 10 years ago. So they made up to $50 a day, and they could both pick up loads of sugar for their day's work. Yeah. The same was true of everything. You could get a haircut for 25 cents. So you could have bought, for a day's work, you can buy 4 haircuts. Yeah. Today, a haircut costs $6. And these boys are working for $50 to $60 a day. So they can up to $70 a day. And they could get 10 haircuts, which is compared much better deal. The same thing would hold true with almost everything you can think of. including everything you bought, such as automobiles. A young man would have to work around 600 days to pay for an automobile. And he got no radio, no heater, and so on. And today, in spite of the fact that automobiles seem to be high, they're cheaper in relation to the day's labor that buys them.